Psalm 144. So on New Year's Eve over in Sanborn, we looked at verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 144. And then this morning, we looked at our passage for tonight that we'll have here, verses 12 to 15. I never always quite know what to bring to a congregation when I go somewhere for pulpit supply, so I just decided to bring the most recent sermon that I had. So it was just newly preached this morning. So here it is, Psalm 144. We'll read the whole psalm, and those verses at the end, 12 to 15, will be the preaching passage. So it's a psalm of David, and it opens up in verse 1 as we read God's word publicly, and says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Stretch out your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-stringed harp I will play to you, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the cruel sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." So there is Psalm 144. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we do thank you for the reading of your word, and we pray already that you are opening minds and giving understanding, that you are opening hearts, O Lord, and planting that word deep within us. And we ask that as a simple ministry of your word goes forth, that with the watering of your spirit, those seeds that are planted might indeed sprout, they might take deep root within us, and they might grow strong and bear fruit, and that in our lives, O Lord, we would be strengthened through this ministry of your word. So make it so, we pray, and out of something simple, O Lord, bring something wonderful, as together we look to you with empty hands, asking that you would fill us with your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what sorts of things are on your mind or in your heart now that a new year has started? Do you look to the future with a kind of eager expectation for things? Maybe some look to the future here in 2021 with anxiety and uncertainty. Maybe others are just ready to move forward and get on with life and hope that at some point soon things get back to normal, so to speak. Maybe some have excitement because there are business opportunities that they're ready to get their hands on. And maybe, boys and girls, is it tomorrow that you start back up in school after Christmas break? So maybe some of you are ready, finally, to get back to school and see your friends and get on with the studies or the sports or whatever it might be. Maybe others are ready for something that they've been planning for a long time, and now that a new year is here, that whatever it might be is coming shortly. Maybe it's something else, right? Of course, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, right? We all think that way, and we always plan for things, and there are new opportunities that arise as a new year has come to us. But here's my question, and I ask myself this question as well. If we're asking about things that are in our minds or on our hearts as a new year has dawned, how quick are we to put spiritual things at the top of the list that we might make? Now that a new year has begun, our Christian walk continues, right? And that needs to remain a priority in 2021, just as it was, the Lord willing, in 2020. And maybe we're a little slow when considering things that way, and that's understandable. But hopefully with a sermon like this, it can be sort of a refresher, sort of a reminder. And it's like, okay, yeah, you're right. All of those other things are important and they have their place, but we have to prioritize life. And at the top of those priorities comes the spiritual service and spiritual life that God has for us. Because whether it's uncertainty or even prosperity or even opportunity, if those are the things we have at the top of the list as we look to 2021, and all of those things remain temporal, well, then really, what do we have? We don't really have anything that matters, and we don't have anything that transcends this life and that causes us to see above the horizon, above the fray, and give us that perspective of a heavenly-mindedness while we live and work here below on earth. So in Psalm 144, especially as things come to an end in these verses 12 to 15, we'll have a chance to begin the new year with a spiritual focus as we look at the way things finish off in this set of verses. Because on the one hand, if you look with me at verses 12 to 14, there's a prayer. Really, it's three petitions that are offered there. And then there's the pair of Beatitudes in verse 15. So both of those sections of these verses are examples of the kinds of things we should have with us and of the kind of things that we should keep with us every day in the coming year that God has for us. And if we do, here's what will happen. On the one hand, we'll see that God answers the prayers that we offer to Him. And He does that, of course, according to His will. He knows what's best, and He will provide us with what we need, even if it's not always what we want. And looking at verse 15 for just a moment, as God answers those prayers that we offer, then we'll have the enjoyment and the experience of God's good blessings and promises that He gives to us. So let's keep some of that in mind as we look at Psalm 144, verses 12 to 15 tonight. If you can see the theme and points there, it's really the theme for the whole psalm, even though we're just going to look at the end here in verses 12 to 15. But as the theme says, that the confident believer remains focused on God despite personal troubles. And as the psalm finishes, we stay with the psalmist and we say together, answer these prayers in verses 12 to 14. And then we want to, along with him, affirm these Beatitudes in verse 15. So, as things open up and we stay with him and say, answer these prayers. Maybe a side note right up front. It's not every psalm that finishes with a prayer, is it? But this one does. Psalm 144 finishes with a prayer. And perhaps there's a lesson for that if we can pick up on things for just a few minutes. So try this on for size as we look at the fact that this psalm finishes with a prayer. Back in verses 1 and 2, David affirms, and all believers together with him affirm, that it's God who prepares us and that it's God who protects us. And since that's so in the opening two verses of the psalm, the preparation and protection that God gives and that we need, that can also be something that prompts us to prayer in 2021. In verses 3 and 4, if you look at those, just glance at them, where man's weakness is described and we are but like a passing shadow, recognizing that we are in complete and total dependence upon God for everything that we have and need, that also can be something that prompts us to prayer. In verses 5 through 8, God's sovereignty and His power and His deliverance and salvation is something that we can remember, and that also can prompt us to prayer. And as a result of all of that, verses 9 through 11, which is a life that testifies to God's praise in answer to God's grace, is also something that reminds us of the need for prayer. So here's how we bring things home, just looking at that for just a minute. As 2021 opens up, if you need to renew your commitment to your prayer life, well, then there's no better time like the present, is there? A new start to a new year can also then be a new opportunity to renew our commitments in prayer to the Lord. Or if you're here tonight and your prayer life is going well by God's grace and things just need to be maintained or even improved upon over the course of the year, well, then keep that up. But in either case, whether it's a renewal of commitment to prayer or keeping on and pressing on in prayer, both of those will take intentionality and both of those will take effort. But if both of those are followed up on and we really are a people of prayer in 2021, well, then we will yield the spiritual return and dividends and blessings that God has for us in that. Not to mention that God will be glorified and praised in and by the prayers of His people. So look at verse 12, 13 and 14 as things open up. And we'll touch just for a few minutes on some of the specifics of each of these petitions. So verse 12 is a prayer for God's blessings upon the future generations of the church, of the covenant community. That's where the language of sons and daughters comes into play. And if you look at verse 12, the imagery that David uses is drawn both from agriculture and architecture. And the idea is that our sons would be fruitful and our daughters would be beautiful. Our sons would be vibrant and our daughters would be functional and useful. And then verse 13 has really, I guess, there's two petitions there. The three uses of the word, may the granaries be full, may our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands, and may our cattle. But really, it's a prayer for increase in the farms and in the fields among the land and the livestock. And all of that would have served two things. It would have served the needs of the people on a day-to-day basis as they labored and brought in the produce and harvest of their work. But the granaries and the sheep and the cattle would also have served the requirements of the tabernacle and temple ministry and the service of the priests as they offered the sacrifices. So this really is one also of labor and also one of ministry. And then if you look at the end of verse 14, it's that simple prayer, may there be no cry of distress in our streets. A prayer for social and civil peace. Now, there's a prayer that seems pretty timely in our current cultural climate, doesn't it? I know in Sanborn, and I'm sure it was the same here in Orange City, we prayed probably every Sunday, certainly most Sundays, we prayed that God would bless our nation with peace and that if He desired to give us that, we would see the display of that. And maybe in measure we've come to see some of that. But just imagine, with all of what we've seen since May in our country, with all of the tumult, all of the violence, all of the rioting, all of that chaos and destruction, imagine what a blessing of peace would look like in a nation. Maybe we, if nothing else, have come to have a new appreciation for the need for there to be peace, not just in the church, which is the prayer here, but also more broadly in the broader culture in which God has placed us. So if those are the petitions that we see, maybe we can pause for a minute and have some takeaways like this. If you ever come to the point in 2021 where you need specific things to pray for, you could do a lot worse than turning to the end of Psalm 144 and using the prayer points that we have here in verses 12 to 14, right? I mean, just think, is there a need for the future of the church to continue? And is there a future for the church? Indeed, there is. So we can take a verse like verse 12 and ask God to answer that prayer for the future of the church by giving us stalwart sons and by giving us daughters who are like Sarah, who had a gentle and quiet spirit, which was very precious in God's sight. Is there a need for both the daily bread to be given as well as the ongoing ministry and labor of the Lord in the ministry of the gospel? Indeed, there is. So we can take a verse like verse 13 that has both the daily bread as well as the temple and tabernacle provisions being supplied. And we can see in that how we are to ask God for there to be an increase on the labor and productivity of our hands, as well as to ask God for there to be His blessing upon the ongoing ministry of the Word and the ongoing ministry of the church more broadly. Is there a need for peace in both church and state? Indeed, there is. So when we have a prayer like at the end of verse 14, may there be no cry of distress in our streets, we can ask God on the one hand to bless Zion with that shalom that is so desperately needed. And we can also ask God to bless our world and our nation with the peace of Christ. And not even just according to His providence, although that's a blessing. If God providentially brings peace to our land, that's a blessing. That's a good thing. It's what we ought to be thankful for. But we can also ask God for there to be no cry of distress in our streets by bringing reformation and revival to sweep across our nation, if He would bring that to pass, so that His grace as well as His providence would be on display. And it wouldn't just be a cultural or civic peace, but it would be a real spiritual and lasting peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. So these are prayers in verses 12 to 14. They're familial, they're ecclesiastical, they're industrial, and they are cultural. In other words, the prayers in verses 12, 13, and 14 are covenantal. And those are the kinds of prayers that God would have us to offer each day as the year that He has given to us unfolds and continues. Because the reason David writes these prayers down here is because David acknowledges and understands that these things are God's will, not just for his life, but these things are God's will for the lives of all of His people. And it's not to say that if we offer these prayers in some sort of a rote, perfunctory way, that we wake up the next morning and lickety-split, there's the answer that we sought. And we wake up next week and there's everything that we could hope to have. We wake up next month and there it is. God has blessed these prayers. Here's the answer that we need. It's not like prayer's a slot machine, right? We just sort of pull the arm, the bands come up the same, and out spills the jackpot. That's not how prayer works. But that's not to say that these prayers, even if they take time to answer, aren't worth offering, is it? Because here's the key in all of this when we look at verses 12 to 14. When we offer these prayers, and we do so patiently, we offer these prayers and ask that God would answer them, and listen to the language, as He knows is best, when He knows is best, and how He knows is best. And if we offer these kind of prayers with that kind of language, that will keep us humble before God. It will keep us mindful of our need for Him to answer. It will keep us dependent upon our hands to be filled with His blessings. And it will keep us persistent in prayer, because we trust not in an entitled sense, but in a sort of humble expectancy that God will answer the prayers of His people as He knows best, when He knows best, and how He knows best. So maybe we'll close the first point like this. I would suggest to you that verses 12 to 14 have prayers for us that mix together the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, and the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Give us this day our daily bread. So if that's the case, we can broaden out the simple petitions here and cover a lot of ground. If, for example, this week you turned to your Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 48, second petition, Lord's Day 50, the fourth petition. If you broaden those prayers out along the lines of what our catechism teaches us there, then you would have a whole number of prayer points to work through in the coming year. If we put that in a math equation, it would be variety plus variables equals a volume of things to pray for in these connections. So let me encourage all of us, myself included, to take time in 2021 to be a people of prayer, and even to pray particularly along the lines of verses 12 to 14 here in Psalm 144. Because if we pray that way, we'll pray purposefully, we'll pray intentionally, And as we remember the gospel promise in light of our prayers, remembering that Christ, who is a faithful Savior to everyone who believes in Him, is also seated at God's right hand, giving us all access and acceptance in prayer with our Heavenly Father, that will help us pray fervently. So we always believe in Jesus for salvation. We always trust that the foundation He provides for us is steadfast and immovable. We always know that the promise of the gospel is faithful and true, and that we can have assurance of God's grace. And in light of all of those things, we should always know that prayer is not just a duty that God has for us, but that it's a real privilege. It's that very air that we breathe as God's people. Like our catechism says, boys and girls, it's that chief and first part of the thankfulness that we show to God each and every day. So as we continue, let's look at verse 15. Not just answers to prayer that we ask for, but along with David, we affirm these Beatitudes. And there's an element of promise in each of these Beatitudes too. Each of these Beatitudes also. So maybe we could sort of consider them to be promissory Beatitudes. And the first thing to consider right off the bat is that twofold use of the word blessed in verse 15. And here's what I want us to consider, and here's what I want us to remember. That word blessed in verse 15, it also means happy. Now, over the years, I've said that in different contexts, from a sermon, I've said it in a Bible study, and different things like that. And sometimes there's people who might take issue with that kind of a translation, that the blessed here also means happy. And that's fine. But it is true. The blessed here at the end of Psalm 144 means happy. And sometimes people phrase the question this way if they aren't so sure about that. They'll say, well, does God want us to be holy? Or does God want us to be happy? And I would say that's a bad question. Because God wants us to be both holy and God also wants us to be happy. And guess what? The promise of the gospel is that God gives us both holiness and happiness in Jesus Christ. In Christ we have a blessed holiness, and in Christ we have a blessed happiness. So in considering that, we learn that in the gospel promise, congregation, as God pours out His blessings, He intends our good to be on display and His glory to be that which is above all else. And in remembering that, we see that Westminster Shorter Catechism question 1 really is true, isn't it? Man's chief end is to glorify God, ding, 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 and to enjoy Him forever. The holiness and the happiness of God's people on display as He answers our prayers and watches over us. And just in case you're wondering, if you look back in verse 1, blessed be the Lord, the word blessed there is a different word then blessed at the end in verse 15. So happiness does not carry that same connotation in verse 1. That's more of praise be to God, whereas here, happiness be to us when God answers our prayers. So in any case, let's affirm these Beatitudes as 2021 unfolds. And may God give us the answers to our prayers in the blessedness and happiness of our lives, answering what we ask of Him for the sake of Jesus Christ, according to His will, giving us what He knows is best. So look at the first Beatitude at the beginning of verse 15. It says, blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. And the reference there is obvious, right? Those prayer points that we looked at in verses 12 to 14. Blessed are the people who have those answers to their prayers. You don't have to be Gil Grissom or Sherlock Holmes to see the connection here at the beginning of verse 15, as verses 12, 13, and 14 have led to that first beatitude, right? And why is it that David says what he says here in verse 15 about the answer to those prayers upon the people to whom God causes them to fall? It's because the answer to those prayers will make that people blessed and happy. And here's why. Those prayers in verses 12, 13, and 14, when they are answered, will make the people who receive those answers to be prosperous. I mean, just think. Family life in the church will be prosperous when verse 12 is answered, because the generations of the covenant community will unfold down through the ages, and Psalms like 127 and 128 will be fulfilled. The industry and ministry of God's people will be prosperous as God provides and as God blesses. And if you look in verses 13 and the beginning of verse 14, when God answers those prayers, you know what he does? It's not just that he provides for the daily bread of his people, but God advances his own kingdom through the work of the ministry that accompanies those lives. And at the end of verse 14, the answer to that prayer, a piece of both culture and religion will make that people prosperous upon whom that falls. Because as peace is given, rest will be had, and God's treasure and provision will be enjoyed. I mean, peace is like a breath of fresh air at this point, I think, for most of us, right? What a wonderful prayer. And no wonder David says, blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. But guess what? Here's where the rubber meets the road in all of this. It's not just this ideal or this pie in the sky high point. In this life, in this age, in 2021, whether it's January 3rd or December 31st, we won't see a perfect answer to any of these prayers. Even if we might see answers to them in measure or at least in part. But guess what? A partial answer to a prayer is better than no answer at all. Because if God gives a partial answer to a prayer, that's the answer we can be assured was needed. And in that moment, that's the answer that's best. But these prayers will be answered one day. One day they will be answered fully and finally. At the arrival of the kingdom of God, the prayers in all of its fullness, the prayers in verses 12, 13, and 14 will fall in abundance. Because listen, then when Christ returns and ushers in his kingdom, then every son will be fruitful. Every daughter will be beautiful. Verses 13 and 14 will be fulfilled. And the peace of righteousness in the new heavens and the new earth will be on display far and wide. So as you read the beginning of verse 15, affirm that beatitude, make it your confession of faith, and be confident that God will answer it, because indeed he will. Look at the second beatitude as the verse finishes off. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. In other words, not that it hasn't been a spiritual focus up to this point, but in Psalm 144 finishes with a particular spiritual focus that we really can't miss. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And maybe it does that. Because in all of what we pray for, and in all of what we look for, if you're anything like me, then you see temptations to be earthly minded and short-sighted, especially as a new year starts, right? I mean, at this time of year, I have to be honest, I think about college football bowl games. That's kind of always how it's been going back to junior high school. Maybe your focus at this time of year is on family get-togethers and friends and food and all of those sorts of things. Maybe the start of a new year for you means the start of new business and you're just ready to get your hands dirty and carry on with the work. Maybe for you, the start of a new year with the return of school means there's assignments to do, there's music programs to be had, there's all sorts of things horizontally that are yet to be taken care of. But check this out. If the prayers of verses 12, 13, and 14 were to be answered in a strictly providential, horizontal sense, well, then what? I mean, what good is a growing family if there's no blessing of grace in the lives of those members? What good is industry and so-called church growth if there's no underlying foundational spirituality to those things? What good is a civic and cultural peace if it's rooted in legislation and not in God's grace? Verse 15 helps us to see things clearly, doesn't it? There is no temporal good, ultimately, if things aren't mingled with spiritual vitality. And that's what verse 15 wants us to see. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. That's the key that unlocks a real prosperity that the prayers of verses 12, 13, and 14 point to. And you know why that is? It's because the Lord is the foundation and center point for all areas of our lives. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The very beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's essentially what it's saying. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. So let me close out just by saying simply, remember the gospel promise in 2021 and stand with your feet on that firm foundation. Look to Jesus Christ in faith according to that promise of the gospel each and every day and know that your salvation is secure in Him. Ask for God's answer to your prayers along the lines of verse 12, 13, and 14 or however else and whatever else you might pray. Affirm these Beatitudes as a common confession of faith and then go. Go in the confidence of belonging to Jesus Christ and go in the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. So that when December 31st rolls around, if we're still here at that point, we can see once again how God has preserved us and has answered all of our cries to Him in grace. Amen. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we do thank You for Your word. Lord, we know we are dependent upon You. And we pray that You would